Good morning, folks. I hope everybody had a good Saturday, and here it is, a Sunday morning, the Lord's Day, and although we cannot get together as an assembly of people to worship God this day, we can still open our Bibles to study together from the Word of God. And so I hope that you'll have your Bibles open, that you'll be willing to study and think about what we're talking about. Our desire is simply to do what the Bible teaches and not add to it or take away from it. And so last week I talked about if Jesus had not died on the cross. And I pointed out six things that if Jesus had not died on the cross, we would not have these things. And for instance, we would not have the gospel of Christ. And the second thing is that there would be no baptism for the remission of sins, since that was actually part of the commandment of Christ in the gospel. Third is there would be no blood to wash away our sins. If His blood is not shed on the cross, then we would not have the redemption through His blood. Four, we would not have the Lord's Supper, since that is a remembrance of His death on the cross, His body being nailed to the cross and the blood being shed there. Finally, there would be no church established by Christ, as He had promised to do so in Matthew 16, verses 16 through 18. And six, Jesus would either have been a liar or mistaken about His mission here on earth, because Jesus and His ministry actually pointed toward His death on the cross and spoke about it in all the way back in John 3rd chapter. And so what I want to do this morning is want to really conclude this thought of lesson, because I had mentioned that there are 12 things I came up with, and I'm not claiming this is a comprehensive list, but there are 12 things that if Jesus had not done a cross, that this would mean. That's things we would not have. And so we want to conclude this with the last six then. And number seven then on this list here, if Jesus had not died on the cross, there'd be no Holy Spirit given to the apostles. On the day of Pentecost, we went over to Acts 2 chapter verse 1, on the very first day, he said, when the day of Pentecost fully come, they were all of one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with the other tongues as the Spirit gave them others. The passage honestly says that the Spirit came upon the apostles here on the day of Pentecost. Now, we have the visual manifestation of this here. We have the sound of the rushing mighty wind. We have the tongues of fire, or divided tongues, my translation says, a fire upon them, each one of them, talking about the 12, and that is so that we would know this here happened. And stop thinking about it. If there not had been the sound of the wind, if there not had been the tongues of fire upon the apostles, how would the audience have known this was occurring? And so these outward signs, the physical things that are happening, was to point toward the fact that the Holy Spirit was indeed upon the apostles. And so one cannot argue that it did not happen on that day, but also one can argue that they had before that day then, because Jesus spoke about the fact that it'd be after His ascension, in fact, that they would come upon the apostles, the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1, verse 5, Jesus said, for John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so when He said, you shall be baptized, that means they had not been baptized with the Holy Spirit yet. Therefore, we understand that meant from that time of Acts 1, verse 5, on backward in time, if you would, all the way to the birth of Christ, men had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is talking about. And so it would not happen until His ascension into heaven. And in fact, if you go back a little bit farther in the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, starting verse 7, and there Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the help will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. So again, we're talking about a future event that's going to be necessary for the helper to come upon the apostles. Now, the helper is the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus talking about in this passage. And so we can know it's okay that the helper had not come upon the apostles before Acts 2nd chapter. And we have evidence of that by Acts 1 verse 5. And we have further evidence of that here in John 16 verse 7. And then we go down to verse 13 of the same chapter. It says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come upon you, He will guide you in all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority. But whatever He hears, He will speak and will tell you things to come. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles was to reveal all truth to them, to remind them of Jesus' teachings and to remind them of the deeds he did while he was here upon earth. The apostles, after all, were men much like you and I. If some event happens, even though it may be a great event, but it happens, and after a time period, we tend to forget certain facts, or we tend to remember things differently. And so these men also, if they'd just been left up to them, may have remembered some of the details about the life of Jesus differently. However, with the Holy Spirit coming, that he was going to tell them again, he was going to tell them about what had happened, or remind them of what had happened, but also to teach them the truth. They'd guide them to all truth, it says right here. And so he came to give them the ability to remember, but also the ability to work miracles as proof of their ministry. And I don't really have any passage down here, but if you just go to the book of Acts, you'll find that very early in the ministry that there were miracles that occurred by the apostles so as to prove that they were indeed sent by Jesus, that they were indeed sent by God, they were indeed preaching the gospel of Christ. As proof of that, the miracles that they performed. And so that's first thing here we talk about. I just want to mention up here is that without Jesus dying on the cross, there'd be no Holy Spirit given to the apostles. The seventh thing here, if Jesus had not died on the cross, the law of Moses would still be in effect. And that is, we understand in Colossians 2, verse 13, and there it says, you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has made a God together with him, have forgiven you all trespasses. Now let me just stress here before I read verse 14, that the apostle here is writing to Christians. He's writing to people that had heard the gospel of Christ, the people that had believed the gospel of Christ, people that had been baptized into Christ. And so these were members of the Lord's church. And so that's why he's saying that you were, have all been forgiven of your trespasses. And then verse 14, he says, have been wiped out of the handwriting requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. What was nailed to the cross? It was the law of Moses. The law of Moses was taken out of the way whenever Jesus was nailed to the cross. And so on the day of his death, as Jesus died, there an interesting event occurred and recorded to us over in Matthew 27, verse 51. And that event is the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That literally, that veil, the Old Testament veil, was being torn away. And so the law of Moses was nailed to the cross. That's the handwriting of requirements that was against us that it talks about in Colossians 2, verse 13 and 14. And also in Matthew 5th chapter then. Because I know there are some people that say, well, hold here, you're talking about the law of Moses be done away with. And they believe the law of Moses has to be in effect until Jesus comes back. However, in Matthew 5, verse 17, Jesus says, do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy it, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Now, if the law had been nailed to the cross, as Colossians 2 chapter talks about, then that means a necessity, then, the law had been fulfilled in Christ. That it was nailed to the cross when he died because, again, the cross, the law of Moses pointed toward the death of Jesus. Its purpose was to bring us to Christ, as Colossians 3rd chapter points out. That Jesus' death fulfilled the law of Moses as far as being the perfect sacrifice for the sins of mankind. And so without his death, we would still be under all the law of Moses. We would still have the Levitical priesthood, which would be really interesting now because, you see, we don't know who the Levitical priest would be. Even the Jews today, even those today who claim to be modern-day Jews, have no idea who the Levitical priesthood would be. And the reason is because in 70 A.D., when the temple was destroyed, then all the lineage that had been recorded for the Jewish nation, including the Levitical priesthood, all that lineage had been destroyed also. And so they can't tell you who would be the Levitical priesthood. Knowing that, but also the animal sacrifices still being fed. Now, how many times have you gone out and offered an animal because you sinned against God? You know, when you look back in the law of Moses, you find they were the yearly sacrifice for the sins of the people. But then there were sacrifices committed, made because of sins of ignorance and then sins of doing things wrong against God. And so they made sacrifices on a regular basis. And just think about that. We would still have to be doing that today. Can you imagine people today going out and having to buy an animal to sacrifice on an altar? And not only that, but also the dietary requirements of the law of Moses would all still be in effect today. The Sabbath day observance would still be in effect today. That we still have to, on Saturday, observe the Sabbath as they were commanded under the law of Moses. So all those things would still be in effect if Jesus had not died on the cross. The very fact that we did not observe those things is a testimony that Jesus did die on the cross and the law of Moses was taken out of the way. But then also the ninth thing I would say is that if Jesus had not died on the cross, then us Gentiles would still be excluded from all the covenant relationship with God. Now I said us Gentiles because most of us would have fallen in that category. Most of us were the Gentiles, would be Gentiles today if the law of Moses would still be in effect today. And so we look and we understand, again, that Jesus talked about the fact in Matthew 15, chapter 17, 18, about the fact that the law would be, again, that would not be done away with till basically till it had been all fulfilled. And therefore, that distinction between Jew and Gentile will all still be there. That's part of the law of Moses. In Ephesians 2nd chapter, and verse 11. Now, Gentiles were people, again, that we read about in the Bible, not a whole lot in the Old Testament, talked about the Gentiles, that every now and then we had glimpses into them. And when Jonah was sent to the people of Nineveh to preach to them and tell them to repent, those people were Gentiles. And we understand that Rahab, during the days of Joshua, going into the land of Canaan. Now, here was a Gentile that was brought into the Jewish nation. And Ruth, in the book of Ruth, that became, she was a Gentile, Moabite, that became part of the Jewish nation. But basically, Gentiles were separate by law from the Jews. They didn't have the law of Moses. They weren't there at Mount Sinai when the law of Moses was instituted. And they did not have the blood sprinkled on them as the Jews did at Mount Sinai. And so Ephesians 2nd chapter verse 11, it said, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. And this referenced the fact that when Abraham was given the law, a sign of that covenant was circumcision, that Abraham and his descendants were to observe. So Jews had the circumcision as a sign to show that they were Jews under the covenant of God. He said, you Gentiles don't have that. And it goes on, verse 12 said, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So here's the situation of the Jews. And that is, who was it that was brought near by the blood of Christ? It was the Gentiles. Because before Christ, again, the Jews and Gentiles were two separate groups. And God's covenant with Abraham was through the Jews, not through the Gentiles. And then also, who were the ones having no hope without God in the world? Well, that's going to be the Gentiles again. And the promise of the Savior was made to Abraham and to his descendants. The Gentiles did not have that same promise. And who were the ones being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenants of promise? Again, that obviously are the Gentiles he's writing to. And so Gentiles did not have the sign of the covenant of Abraham. They did not have circumcision. And so he's talking about that. Now, at Mount Sinai, God entered a covenant relationship with Israel and excluded the Gentiles. They weren't part of that covenant. All we can say about Gentiles from Mount Sinai to death of Jesus, that God dealt with them separately. That God dealt with them as we talked about the patriarchal age where God spoke to the heads of families. And that's how God dealt with Adam. And that's how God dealt with Abel. And that's how God dealt with Noah. And that's how God dealt with all the others. Abraham, as we read about them in the book of Genesis, God spoke directly to the heads of families. And the law of Moses, God spoke to the nation through Moses. He gave them that law. And so Gentiles were never in that relationship, and only in Jesus are Jews and Gentiles reconciled together in one body. And that's what Paul's mentioned for us. And so in Ephesians 2 verse 14, it said, he himself is our peace, has both made both one, and has broke down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the entity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that is when the law of Moses was taken out of the way, and the law of Christ was instituted, it became our law, that same law of both the Jews and Gentiles. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, it doesn't matter if you're a Gentile, you are under the law of Christ. And so because we have the same law then, we are reconciled together in the body of Christ. And one of the things in the New Testament, as you read about the preaching of the gospel, is that you had Jews and Gentiles both obeying the gospel, both working together, both worshiping together, and there was no distinction made between the two under the law of Christ. And so if it had not been for Christ, you see, as Gentiles, we would be excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. We would be excluded from the covenant relationship with God that we have today. Another thing, the tenth thing I would put on this list here, if Jesus had not died on the cross, the numerous prophecies in the Old Testament would not have been fulfilled. And I could just go through a whole list of prophecies, honestly, in the Old Testament and spend up the hours of time in talking about those. We're not going to do that. But I just want to mention a few of those. And one is the prophecies about Jesus' death itself, that what Jesus experienced. One example of that, if you turn on the 22nd Psalm. And 22nd Psalm, I'm going to start reading verse 13. It says, they gape at me with their mouths, like a gape, raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax that's melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. Yeah, brought me to dust of earth. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and my clothing they cast lots. Now this here is description from Jesus' point of view of what he experienced, what he saw, what he felt on the cross. When he talks about the fact that his bones were out of joint, when Jesus nailed to the cross, his hands were nailed and his feet nailed, that part of the suffering of the cross is that the joints in your shoulders and in your legs and your hips, that they are eventually they're out of socket. That you go through that. My heart is like wax. And he says, my strength is dry like a potsherd. Well, his strength is being sapped from me on the cross. My tongue clings to my jaws. He lacks water. His mouth is dry. One of the things that they understood Jesus needed on the cross was water. And finally, they gave him some hyssop, I believe it's talked about. Dogs around me. That's talking about the Gentiles. We're often referred to as dogs by Jews. And we say, they pierced my hands and my feet. Again, the nails in his hands and his feet as he hung on the cross. I count all bones. None of Jesus' bones was broken. The Gospel of John points out to me. And finally, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. All this is talking about the fact of what was going on when Jesus was on the cross. None of these things would have been fulfilled then if it had not been for his death on the cross. And in fact, Matthew 27, verse 35, we find that they divide his garments. And in Luke 23, verse 34, they cast lots for his outer garment. And so again, all this is reference to his death on the cross. And another prophecy was of the new covenant that would come to effect that would be different than the old covenant. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. In Hebrews 10th chapter is actually quoting Jeremiah. And Jeremiah verses 31 and 32. And so you turn to Hebrews 10th chapter, it says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts and their minds, I will write them. Then he adds, their sins, their laws, deeds, I'll remember no more. Now where there's remission of these, there's no longer an offering for sin. And what the Hebrew writer is saying is, this is what Jeremiah is talking about. This was fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross. That we would have a new covenant, not like the covenant he had made with Israel, not like the covenant he had made with Judah, but a new covenant. And part of the difference in the old covenant and the new covenant was the remission of sins. He said we would have that. Now again, Jesus not died on the cross. That prophecy in Jeremiah 31 would not have been fulfilled. And finally, I just point out the prophecy over in Daniel's second chapter. In Daniel's second chapter, that you have Daniel and his friends are in captivity in Babylon. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, has a dream in the second chapter, and he calls his wise men in to interpret his dream. Daniel's the only one that interpreted the dream, and the image that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about was basically broken down into four parts. And each part represented a different kingdom. The first part was the Babylonian Empire. And then it would be replaced by the Medo-Persian Empire. That's the second part of the image. And the third part of the image, the Greek or the Macedonian Empire. And then the fourth part was the Roman Empire. And each one of these, he says, would come and go. But the fourth, during the days of that fourth empire, during the days of the Roman Empire, he said, this is what's going to happen. Daniel 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now this kingdom is going to be established, he said, it had to be during the days of the Roman Empire. When did Jesus die? He died during the days of the Roman Empire. What happened? He set up his kingdom that's going to stand as long as the world is here, that his kingdom will stand. Again, if Jesus had not died on the cross, then we would still be in that kingdom. As for that reason, some people who believe in premillennialism still believe that somehow the Roman Empire has to be reconstituted. But because they can't get around Daniel, the second chapter, verse 44. But we see here that that prophecy was fulfilled in Christ, only by his death on the cross. But then also, the 11th thing I would say, that if Jesus had not died on the cross, God's promise to Abraham would not have been fulfilled. If we go all the way book of Genesis and look at Genesis 12th chapter, and I know I'm skipping a lot of things in the Bible here, but in the 12th chapter verse 1, it says, now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I bless you and make your name great. And it shall be a blessing. I bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all families there shall be blessed. Now there's the promise here, and this promise contains three distinct elements. The one is land promise. Now we understand as we go through the book of Genesis all the way through the Old Testament, that was land of Canaan. And eventually that land was given to the children of Abraham. The second promise was a great nation. That from his seed there'd be a multitude of people, there'd be a great nation. Again, we understand that's the nation of Israel. That came from the lineage of Abraham. But the third promise is, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, that promise was only fulfilled if Jesus had been the purpose or the end of that promise, the fulfillment of that prophecy. And we don't have to wonder about that. Because the inspired writer in Galatians 3, verse 16, said, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He is not saying the seeds as of me, but as of one, and your seed who is Christ. And this I say, that the law which was 430 years later can now annul the covenant that was confirmed before God by Christ, that should make the promise no effect. For the inheritance of the law is no longer a promise of God to get to Abraham. You see, what Paul is pointing out here is that the promise God made to Abraham was not fulfilled in the law of Moses. And it was only fulfilled when Jesus came and lived and died here on earth. And so he said, that's who that promise was made to Abraham and to his seed where the promise was made. And again, seed being singular, not plural. And as that seed is Christ. And so without the death of Jesus on the cross, then that prophecy that promise would not have been fulfilled. And let me go to the last one here, the 12th thing here. If Jesus had not died on the cross, Satan would not have been defeated. If you go all the way back in Genesis, the third chapter, and of course this is after Adam and Eve have taken the forbidden fruit, and God's talking to Satan about what's going to happen. And in verse 14, Genesis, the third chapter, says, for the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast on the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and he shall bruise his heel. Now this is talking about a battle, a conflict between Satan and this seed of woman that talked about in this. And when you look at it again, those seed here is single, or not seeds. They're not talking about all mankind. It's talking about this particular seed. And so when was the head of Satan crushed or bruised? And the Bible points out to us when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. If you look over Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 14. Hebrews 2, verse 14, it said, inasmuch then as children have partaken of flesh and blood, and talking about Jesus came into this world to take on a physical body, he himself likewise shared the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And so that passage very specifically and plainly tells us, Jesus came to destroy the power of Satan, to destroy his ability to cause man to be lost, death here. And another passage we can point toward, at 1 John 3 and verse 8. And that passage says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so when Jesus died on the cross, it was not his defeat. It was Satan's defeat. When Jesus rose out of the grave, he proved that he had power over death. It was not possible that death and Hades should have rule over him, for him to stay in the grave. And so he was the victorious. And that's what Genesis 3rd chapter is pointing toward. And so if Jesus had not died on the cross, then that promise would not have been fulfilled. So these are some things very important, because through Jesus' death, all the things mentioned in the first lesson have been fulfilled. And not only that, but also the Holy Spirit has come upon the apostles. We do have the inspired word of God. The law of Moses was fulfilled, has been taken out of the way, and we are, Jews, Gentiles, are all reconciled together in Christ. All the Old Testament prophecies concerning the death of Jesus have been fulfilled. Actually, the birth of Jesus, his suffering, his death, all those prophecies were fulfilled, and the new covenant established. God's promise to Abraham was fulfilled, and Satan has been defeated. Those of us who are in Christ should be very thankful. All mankind really should be thankful, because Jesus died for you and me. He died so we can have all these spiritual blessings, and we should be very thankful for that. I appreciate you listening to this lesson. Now, let me just state that if you're outside the body of Christ, and what I mean is if you haven't done what Jesus said to do in order to be saved, then you are in a lost condition. And that Jesus simply lays out in the Bible. This is not my words. This is not some Church of Christ doctrine. This is simply what the Bible teaches. That we must believe in the Son of God, repent of our sins, confess the Son of God, and be baptized for remission of our sins. That's what it said in Acts 2, verse 38. And then we need to be faithful to his word. It's that simple. I know perhaps some are confused by some of I said, but don't understand. But if I can help you study the word of God, then contact me. Again, you're watching this on Facebook. You can probably miss me. I'd be glad to talk to you. Or we can try to study by mail or by phone, how we can. Because we still want to do what the Bible says. I do appreciate you watching this morning.